The next speaker represents a company that really has a common thread with adaptive technologies. Vanda Pharmaceuticals and Adaptive Technologies are both truly dedicated to making our lives as blind people better. And it is really an honor today to have Vanda here with us. And before I introduce the speaker, I want to acknowledge that Vanda has not only done incredible work, which you're going to hear about, but has also stepped up to support the blind community in many, many ways over a number of years, and specifically has been a supporter of our conventions now for several years. And again, they're one of our major sponsors for this convention. And yes, absolutely. And we want to thank them for helping us to put on this great conference. So let's hear it again for Vanda Pharmaceuticals. So to tell us more about Non-24 and the impact and the work that is being done on it is Dr. Dewey McClin, who is Acting Director of Medical Strategy and Scientific Affairs for Vanda Pharmaceuticals. Dr. McClin?
Good afternoon, everyone. It's great to be here, and this is my third California Council of the Blind meeting, so it's, we have no mic here. Okay, we'll try this one. How's that? Are we on? Nope, a little more? Okay. How about that? All right, we got it there. So let's try again. Good afternoon, everyone. It's really exciting to be back here for my third California Council of the Blind meeting, and it's wonderful to be back and participate. Thanks for letting me come participate. I really appreciate all the valuable work this organization does, and really want to especially thank Jeff for hosting the meeting and Gene for really all the excellent help making this happen. So thanks to both of you. My name's Dewey McClin. I'm a scientist. I started out my career, although I'm not a native Californian, just down the road here at UC Irvine, so I feel like a local. And I was in the Department of Neurobiology and Behavior there, and now I oversee the Medical Affairs Group at Vanda. And I think, as many people in this room know, after many years of effort last year, Vanda succeeded, along with the help of many doctors and many patients and the people in the blindness community, in getting the first ever treatment approved by the FDA for the condition called Non-24. Thanks. We're very excited about it. So today, we had a few minutes here. I just wanted to take some time and talk briefly about Non-24, or non-24-hour sleep-wake disorder. I want to talk about the new treatment option that's available, and we're happy to be able to finally do that here. And also tell you about a program we have called Hetlioz Solutions to support people with Non-24 or people who are interested in getting Hetlioz. So whenever we go out and talk about medication, we always start out talking about safety information first, even though I haven't told you anything yet, because we want to make sure we cover that if things get tight on time. So, you know, a few things I want to say about Hetlioz is it may cause drowsiness, and after anyone takes it, they should really limit their activities in the evening for the things you would normally do to prepare to go to bed. The most common side effects, which I'll talk about again later, are headache, changes in liver enzymes, abnormal dreams, respiratory and urinary tract infections. And these may particularly occur more commonly in people who are over 65 years old. Like with a lot of medications, if you're pregnant or you plan on becoming pregnant, or even if you're not planning on becoming pregnant, maybe you will, you should tell your doctor about it, or breastfeeding as well. We haven't studied Hetlioz in women who are pregnant, so you know, we want to evaluate the risk-benefit there with your doctor. So getting back to Non-24 then, what is it? It's really a chronic disorder that affects a person's circadian rhythms. Circadian rhythms are actions that the body repeats about every 24 hours. And they're controlled by an internal clock, and this clock we know as the circadian clock. It's really just the body's natural timing mechanism that controls functions like sleep and like wake schedules. For most people who are blind or sighted, the body's natural rhythms don't cycle for exactly 24 hours. Almost everyone's natural biological clock is a little longer than 24 hours a day. And in fact, it's about 24 and a half hours. So the question then is, well, what does light have to do with this, and how does light perception play a role in non-24? And when I think about this, I think about the ears, and we all know ears have two functions, right? We use our ears for hearing, but then also for balance. And we really discovered in 2001 that, unbeknownst to us, the eyes have two functions too. The eyes are responsible for image generation and perception for seeing things, but it's also responsible for light detection of the time of day and resetting this circadian clock. So this lack of light perception is really can be a key factor in developing the serious chronic symptoms that are associated with non-24-hour sleep-wake disorder. And this condition can develop at any age, really, and regardless of the cause of blindness. So what happens in non-24 is the sleep-wake cycle gets out of sync with the environmental 24-hour day, with the sun's 24-hour day, right? So in individuals who are sighted, really it's visual light cues reset this clock every 24 hours and aligns it with the day. And I always think about this as if we have a watch, and all of us have a watch that runs slightly longer than 24 hours. And you know, every morning when there's light exposure, you reset the watch to keep it aligned, but the watch naturally runs faster than 24 hours. So obviously, if someone has less light perception, there's less of a visual cue coming in to reset this clock. If we think about it more specifically for one individual, and I said earlier, you know, 24 and a half hours is pretty average for most people in what their body's natural clock is. If you think about what that means for one person, means the clock shifting 30 minutes every day, right? So if we take an example of someone whose body tells them to go to bed at 10 p.m. and wake up at 6 a.m. So the next day, that person's body would be telling them to go to bed at 10:30 p.m. and wake up at 6:30 a.m. And then the next day, it'd be telling them to go to bed at 11 p.m. and wake up at 7 a.m. And this is going to, you know, relentlessly progress around the clock. And you can imagine in 24 days then, or about a month later, your clock's going to be completely inverted, where the body thinks noon is midnight and midnight is noon. And this obviously, without treatment, this is going to continue to shift every single day. The body's rhythm is going to come in sync and out of sync and in sync and out of sync and keep drifting in and out. And that will continue to happen without some treatment to correct it. One key feature of non-24, when we think about why I'm here talking and why we partnered with California Council of the Blind today, is that it not only occurs in people with no light perception, but that is where non-24 is definitely the most prevalent. There are prevalent studies that we've done and that other groups, this gentleman, Steve Lockley at Harvard, was one of the top people, and he's looked at this prevalence data as well. And it looks like between 50 and 70% of people with no light perception, if you go in and measure their rhythms, have non-24-hour sleep-wake disorder. So if you know you have a situation where everyone has a 70% prevalence rate, you can imagine that's why we want to be here and engaging with you all. So how would someone know if they had non-24? There are a couple of hallmarks that you can really think about. If you have trouble falling asleep and staying asleep, if you have urges to sleep during the day, yep, I see a lot of heads nodding here. falling asleep unexpectedly, just patterns that differ from most people in terms of your sleep. Often because people come in and out of sync, people with non-24 will discover they have periods of good sleep followed by periods of bad sleep. So it won't always be bad, but it'll kind of go through a cycle that may be more or less noticeable. For some people, it might be a month for this cycle. For other people with a different clock, it might be 6 months. But often people will notice some kind of cycle related to it. If you struggle to stay awake during the day at work or at school, particularly if you notice these shifts over time, or if maybe you sleep but you wake up feeling groggy and not really like you've gotten enough rest. So if you think you're experiencing any of these symptoms of non-24, it's really important to share all of these symptoms when you talk about it with your doctor, not just the sleep-related issues, but really everything that you're experiencing as a whole, so you can work together with your doctor to help diagnose that this really is non-24 and then help develop a treatment plan with your doctor. This is really, you know, it's a rare disorder. Most sleep specialists that I talk with are very familiar with non-24. They learn about it, they study it when they're, you know, going to school to become sleep specialists. They're going to know about it. Most primary care physicians, in all honesty, they got about two sentences on this 15 years ago in medical school, and they're probably not going to remember it without having to go back and look it up and be prompted if you go to talk with them. So that being the case, if your doctor isn't familiar with non-24, we have a couple of resources available. You can refer your doctor to a website we have called Hetlioz Pro. So it's www.HetliozPro. So HetliozPro.com. Or we have a phone number that they can call, which is 844-HETLIOZ. And that's 844-438-5469. So now that we've talked about non-24, I want to take a minute and actually talk about Hetlioz. I mentioned at the beginning, it's the first and only drug approved by the FDA to treat any circadian rhythm disorder. And non-24 is the one. You know, if taken as directed, the data suggests that it'll help you break the cycle of this disrupted nighttime sleep and unwanted daytime sleep, both of these factors that we look at that you've been struggling with. They're really the precise way that Hetlioz works, as for most medications, isn't known, but all the data suggests that it's because Hetlioz binds to receptors for a hormone called melatonin, and melatonin is particularly important in resetting the circadian clock, this clock that runs the day-night cycle that we talked about. So I want to reiterate here for a minute the important safety information about Hetlioz. As I mentioned, the most common side effects are headaches, liver enzyme changes, abnormal dreams, respiratory and urinary tract infections, and that these occur more frequently in people over 65. Like with all medications, of course, before the FDA approves a new drug, you do clinical studies with it. We did two major clinical studies with Hetlioz. And I just want to take a minute and tell you about them, because I think they're kind of interesting. In the first one, we had 84 patients, and they were all individuals who were blind and randomized to either receive Hetlioz or to get placebo, so just a dummy pill that doesn't have any active ingredients. And everyone took it 1 hour before bedtime, at the same time, every night, and people were in that study for up to 6 months. The second study was a little twist on this, a little different approach. This study had a design that let us find out what happens if you stop taking Hetlioz. So we had 20 people who were taking Hetlioz, whose non-24 was being well controlled, and then we switched half of them secretly to placebo to see what happened to them when you were on the drug and switched to placebo. So we get to look at what happens in both directions here. So in the first study, where people were randomized to either get placebo or to get Hetlioz, we saw a significant change in the sleep patterns in these individuals. So they were able to sleep longer at night, and in fact, it was an average of 50 minutes, nearly an hour longer at night, during these times when the rhythms were most misaligned. So that's the nighttime sleep. And you can ask, well, what about daytime sleep and this napping? And when I saw everyone's heads nodding about falling asleep during the day, what happened there? And when you look at that, there was an average of about 49 minutes less sleep every day during those days of misalignment. So you see an hour more sleep at night, an hour less sleep during the day, on average, during this study. The second, the tricky study where we took half the people and had them on drug and tricked them by switching to placebo as part of the study design, you know, what we see here is results that support the fact Hetlioz was working in these patients. Those who stopped taking Hetlioz lost an average of 74 minutes of sleep a night. And they started sleeping again during the day more. In fact, it was, again, 50 minutes more per day on average. So those were the you know, major efficacy results, what we saw about the sleep effects that I wanted to share with everyone. There are a couple of things that are unique about this drug that I also want to mention. We all, you know, are familiar with sleep. Probably a lot of people here have taken sleep aids, you know, Ambien or NyQuil or something, and those drugs work by knocking you out. And, you know, I will confess, I travel a lot for work. I have an Ambien prescription, and when I'm traveling to the East Coast, I take one to go to sleep, so I'm not up all night. Helios works a little differently, because what it's really doing is not making you go to sleep, but resetting this clock. So an important thing to know is it takes a while to work. It can take several weeks to several months before the drug works, because it's trying to correct the underlying problem. So I just want to set expectations here. This is not like taking a sleep aid where you're going to go to sleep. It's something that needs a chance of weeks or months before you're going to know if it works for you or not. Like any medication, you want to take this as your doctor prescribes it. And generally, they'll prescribe you take one capsule about an hour before you go to bed every night. As I mentioned, it's a medication you should take whole. Generally, we encourage people to take it without food an hour before bedtime. And of course, when you talk with your doctor, you should you know, be aware that you know, Helios may cause drowsiness, as I mentioned before. And that's why you want to just do things that you're getting ready for bed after you take it, because it can impair alertness. Also, always when you talk to your doctor about this medication or any others, tell them everything else you're taking, all the other medications, the herbal supplements, and everything else, because there's some medications that shouldn't be taken together. Fluvoxamine and rifampin, for example, are two drugs that shouldn't be taken with Helios. And just on the pediatric front, Helios should not be taken by children. It hasn't been studied in children, although that is a next plan and something we're gearing up to do right now, but the data aren't available for that yet, so for now, it's not a drug that should be taken by children. And the final thing I want to say about this is with any medication and Helios, if you have any adverse reactions, please report them to the FDA. That keeps our healthcare system strong, and it keeps the FDA's understanding of what's going on with medications out in the real world strong. So there's an FDA website that's www.fda.gov/medwatch, MEDWATCH, where you can go online and let them know if you have any adverse events. So you just have a couple minutes here left, and the final thing I want to talk to you about is Helios Solutions. Vanda is very, very committed to the community and to making sure Helios is accessible to people who have non-24. Thank you. We've really made an effort to commit that people who need Helios, who are going to benefit from Helios, are going to have access to Helios. That is a commitment that we've made as a company. So to help make that happen, we've developed this program called Helios Solutions. It helps by really providing you and your doctor with personalized assistance in getting diagnosed and getting medication and getting it paid for and getting it delivered to your front door. You will be assigned, if you're interested in this, a person at Helios Solutions who will work with you. They will provide as little or as much information as you want. They will provide as little or as much education to your doctor as you want. We will, you know, handhold the doctor's office through the insurance company, through any insurance challenges that arise, and make sure that gets handled. You know, likewise with financial support, Helios Solutions, the people there can guide you through all the financial assistance options. We have copay support for people with commercial insurance. We have foundation support for people that have government insurance. We have patient assistance programs for people that aren't insured. And anyone who's eligible should be able to receive Helios at little or no cost to them. So, thanks. I would say the last thing I want to say is my colleague, Roa Bella, and I are going to be here. We have a table upstairs for the rest of the afternoon. If you want any more information, if you want to sign up for Helios Solutions, It's no obligation. Just if you want someone to talk to more beyond this meeting, please stop by, see us, sign up, and we'll be happy to do whatever we can. Thanks. Oh, yeah, let me get your mic.
Okay, we're going to have time for two people. And first, I want to recognize Margie Donovan for a comment.
Thank you, Jeff. A year and a half ago at our spring convention in Sacramento, we had a Hetliel speaker who on Friday evening announced that the drug had been released that day. I went home on Monday. I contacted my doctor who had been studying it and tracking it, and within 2 weeks I was on Hetlioz. What really concerns me in our community is so many people that have this severe dysfunction of non-24 accept the fact that they fall asleep during the day or they just nod off, and then they don't want to try the medication because they're afraid that Hetlioz solutions may not assist them financially after the first year. And I really plead with you, if you have this disorder, if you think you have this disorder, really give this medication a try. Go talk to your doctor. It's made an incredible difference in my life. I got off all the Zopidem that made me cook in the night and not know I was cooking. Some of those other things are fine for short term, but if you have a non-24 issue, you really need to venture down this road. It really improved the quality of my life. Thank you.
All right, one more. Do we have one more question? All right, that's it?
Gene.
Oh, Gene, go ahead.
I'd like to make a comment first. I've also been using the medication for almost a year, and it's made a world of difference for me also, as Margie is having the same positive experience. What I'd like to find out is, I have talked to persons who have a little more in light perception, that have maybe can see contrast, see outlines of things, not true, real, full vision. But in other words, they have a little more in light perception, and they have a lot of the same symptoms as those of us who have lost our vision and gone to the sleep disorder. And I was wondering if Vanda is going to be looking into this, because it seems to be more than just one or two people. And I was wondering if you have any information on that. Thank you.
Thanks, Gene. That's a great question. So I have a couple of comments regarding that. What we know is the prevalence is 50 to 70% in people with no light perception, which I mentioned. The other thing we know, though, is that outside of that group, you're more likely to have non-24 the less light perception you have. And in fact, there are some people who are sighted who, for other reasons, have disruptions in the system that have non-24. And in fact, getting treated with Hetlioz is on label, regardless of whether or not an individual has no light perception or a little light perception or, you know, 20/20 vision. It doesn't matter. All of that's on label for treating non-24 for this drug. What I know now is some people who have light perception have been treated with Hetlioz. I'm working right now to reach out to some of those individuals and learn more, and we want to find out what their experience has been and look for commonalities in that group, because you're right, our studies were done only in people who were totally blind, but that's not how the disease is in the real world. It's not how non-24 is. Lots of people with different levels of sight have it, and we're trying to learn more.
Yeah, great. Because I'm in that category.
My doctor has asked me, because sometimes he's wondered why it's just limited to 20 milligrams and not any little stronger if it needs to be. He asked me to ask that. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. So, you know, we go through, when we're early in the drug development, kind of a dose-finding study, and we try to find the dose that is most likely to work for the most people, and that it's the lowest dose that's effective. The most medications, you always want to take the lowest dose that will work. And so in our phase 3 studies, that was the dose we studied, and so that's the dose the FDA approves. You know, that said, doctors can write medications for whatever dose and usage they want, and that's, you know, between you and your doctor, but there's no, you know, law about how physicians can use these medications, but that's how it's approved in the label because of the studies is for 20 milligrams. Yep.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
They really do a fantastic job. Let's hear it again for Vanda Pharmaceuticals. Okay.